This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What's good, baby? Hey, hey, hey. That's kind of hot. We run it back one more time. We welcome you in here to the Thursday, August 21st edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of alongside.
What are you doing with him?
Right, that's how we roll. Man, that handoff is fun, man.
That is good times.
I was just telling Charlie as I ran to fill this water cup, like, the handoff has added such a fun element, I think, to both shows. I said this yesterday. I feel like our show flies by. Mm-hmm. Even more so, like, you know, obviously the show always flies when we're having fun, but it just feels like everything moves at a different tempo after being able to hang out with those guys a little extra longer than we're used to, man. So that's fun.
It's good times, man, and to pull back the curtain. Sometimes, like today, we were like, I don't know about you, or but I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about for 28 minutes.
And it's just vibes.
It just happens. Mm-hmm. It just happened. Like, we talk. It's good conversation with good people.
And even 28 minutes is like 40-something.
Right. Man, it's a good time, man. It's always a good time. Love it.
Yeah, great stuff, man. Great stuff from Kyle and James there. Great stuff from the Chatty House, as always, whether you're on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. We appreciate you being with us. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, iHeart app, if you're listening on 98.5 FM HD2 or 1320 AM, if you've never texted, if you've never tweeted, never sent an IG message, you're just out there hanging out listening, man. No, we appreciate you just as much. As we mentioned with the guys there just a minute ago, our man Connor Sutton from the Sac Republic is going to be with us coming up about 45 minutes from now. Obviously, some very exciting things going on at the downtown rail yards with our man and our crew out there with the Sac Republic. So we're going to talk to Connor coming up again in about 45 minutes. And then Matt George will be with us, Locked On Kings, ABC 10, final hour of the show. We'll talk with him. Our guy, who maybe we should work on talking to tomorrow, Jake Fisher. Had some things to say about a variety of NBA topics, including some of the restricted free agents. That's probably a discussion to be had, because that Chicago Josh Giddey thing is pretty interesting. But he talked about Russell Westbrook. Jake Fisher said, to the best of his knowledge, the only NBA home for Russell Westbrook this season is the Sacramento Kings. And we haven't heard anything this dramatic, because that's kind of an emphatic statement. We haven't heard anything along those lines, but it does make complete sense. It was mentioned to us very, very early in this process. Russ's priorities are, he wants to be closer to home. He doesn't want to, you know, be super far away. I know that I don't know if the Knicks have explored Russell Westbrook. The Knicks and Russell Westbrook probably would make some sense. Milwaukee and Russell Westbrook would probably make some sense. But Russell Westbrook being in New York or Milwaukee might not make a lot of sense for him at what is clearly the, you know, the very latter stages of his career. When you look around the rest of the teams that have a close proximity to his home and his business in Los Angeles and his family in Los Angeles, he's done the Lakers thing already. Phoenix doesn't really make sense. Utah doesn't really make sense. Obviously, he opted out of Denver. Golden State wouldn't make any sense for him. Like, Sacramento is something that makes sense. Yeah. How it happens, if it happens, I don't know. I've been of the belief this is happening. But I can't tell you how. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of the teams of where he might want to go, and clearly I don't think this is an option, but I always thought, if it's not Sacramento, because I love him here in Sacramento, if it's not that, I always wondered if maybe Oklahoma City, go back home, you get a championship contender. Well, yeah. Your basketball home. Go back to your basketball home. You're in a championship contender. Maybe you can get a ring. And I think they got real love for Russ to this day.
I love that. OKC. Yeah, they absolutely do.
So
they cheered him, remember, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then he cooked them. So they stopped cheering him. Yeah. They stopped cheering him. They thought he was saying goodbye or something, and then he beat their ass, and they're like, forget this dude.
So, I don't think I've heard nothing about that. I don't think Russ necessarily wants to do that. I agree with you, and hear the things that you're saying, that he wants to be close to home. And I'm with you. I think he's going to be a Sacramento King. I do not think he's going to retire, you know, because I saw something that also said, like, it's damn near like the Kings are retirement, you know, and that's not off the table. I don't think he's going to retire. I think he does come to Sacramento, and it might take some time. It might not happen at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Or it might be in the training camp when it becomes official. Yeah. He's a little like Al Horford, Melton, some of those guys that are being linked to the Warriors, where, yes, in an ideal situation, you want them there early so you can get things going. But you don't have to have those guys at this point in their career there day one. You know, they can have the understanding that whenever some things get squared away, they'll be with that particular team. And they may get there in the middle of training camp or a couple weeks into the season or something like that. I think Russell Westbrook is in that category with the Kings.
The player, I'm with you in the sense that I believe the player is. I don't think the team is. I don't think the team can afford to have someone like Russell Westbrook. I don't think the team can afford to have anyone truthfully come into training camp late and be a part of what they're doing. And I don't know how big of a part Russell Westbrook would be. Of course, the belief is, if Russ is a part of anything the Sacramento Kings are doing, someone isn't. Now, whether that's Malik, Devin, someone else, like there's probably someone who's not a part of what the Sacramento Kings are doing. So I just don't know that continuity is important for this team. Establishing chemistry. I mean, not to be cheesy, like establishing a vibe,
right,
I think is really important for this basketball team. And Russ is a pretty big personality. I would think you want that around. Obviously you'd want that around. I think you'd be better off if he was around from jump to help establish something, rather than getting going, getting in a rhythm, than having a personality and a player the likes of Russell Westbrook come in and try to fit in with what the rest of the guys have already been doing.
That's fair.
And again, at this stage of his career, I believe he could do it. Right. I just don't know that that's the best approach for everybody, gotcha. Including him. There's a lot of personalities on this team. Like, Lavina, good ball player. That's a personality. Malik, if he's here, is a personality. Domas, DeMar, they're all, you know, different guys, different ways of leading, different ways of communicating. And, you know, Russ, 10 points a game or not, or 30 points a game, he's going to take charge. Mm-hmm. Like, he did it in Denver. He did it in LA. He's done it every stop that he's been at. He's not going to fall back because he's not the MVP anymore. He's going
to
talk.
Yeah, that's who he is, and that's what he's earned in this league, to be able to have that type of voice and that type of impact. On the flip side of the situation, I saw something when I was coming into the office about some Mavericks reporter talking about Malik Monk and the Kings, and just to report maybe nothing that we already didn't know, but they've been trying very hard, is the quote, to trade Malik Monk. No takers. I only bring that up because
not where I thought this story was going. I thought Dallas had an interest in Malik Monk.
I didn't go through the
like,
whole.
Like, who are you and why do you know so much?
That's a good question. Like, it came out of nowhere from a Dallas reporter. But I only bring it up because I don't know how you get Russ. I'll ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Is Russ coming to Sacramento more contingent on some finality in the Kuminga situation or the Malik Monk situation, in your opinion?
Yes. In the scenario you're creating, they're separate. Mm. The Malik Monk situation and the Kuminga situation aren't tied together.
Say you can get one together, one done and not the other. It don't matter.
Honestly,
which one.
I feel like it's Kuminga. Mm. Maybe for financial purposes, again, not being, you know, a James Hamm cap expert, I feel like it could be something that just has to do with the cap and how you get under the cap. But I don't know. Again, I don't know how those two things could. I don't know how one could happen without the other because of Malik's money.
And to be fair to the situation as well, as I think about that question, either way, you're opening up a position for Russell Westbrook, in theory. Mm-hmm. If you're able to trade for Kuminga and it doesn't involve Malik Monk, you're probably trading Devin Carter, which gives you an opportunity, a backup point guard. If you're trading for Kuminga or whatever and you're able to move on Malik Monk, once again, you're opening up a spot for him on the roster, on the like the active roster in the rotation for him to play. Like you mentioned, money-wise, they may have two different consequences, right? Mm-hmm. But when I think about like who can play in the rotation, Carter and Monk, the fact that they're both there seems to be blocking the potential of Westbrook being able to come here and play. Mm-hmm. In one of those situations, one of those guys are moving, that would open up a spot for Russ to be in the rotation.
For sure. It feels like this isn't a stretch. Like, everything is hanging on what happens with Jonathan Kuminga. You mentioned Al Horford a few minutes ago. I was reading, I don't remember if it was Fisher who brought this up, but I was reading it this morning. Horford's fine. He's just content. He wants to play for the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors want to play for him. They're fine waiting this out. Everyone's waiting for the same thing. But I guess what I'm not clear on, at least in the Golden State Warriors situation, is does Al Horford still play there if Jonathan Kuminga is there?
Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, like I don't know how financially that works.
Right.
And
maybe the thought is, well, you're talking about financially, and you're right about that, because now you're up against it.
If you're the Warriors,
yeah. If you're the Warriors.
And I'm sure you don't want to be.
Right. I was also thinking, say you work out the finances, basketball-wise, maybe you're just maybe he's able to come to, talking about Al Horford, maybe he's able to come to the Warriors. Because, all right, we just brought back Kuminga on the qualifying offer. We have no interest in having him in the rotation. So, yeah, Horford, come through. You're going to play ahead of this guy. And he'll be here. We'll try to trade him, whatever their plans are with him. But they may look at it as...
But they can't. Kuminga? You talking about Kuminga?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't.
That's true, too. Well, is it... This, yeah, they've already passed the 6 month mark.
Well, it doesn't matter. The qualifying offer, you can't be traded on the qualifying offer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you the one where you could trade him was that 2 year deal that they offered.
That's right.
And even in that, he had to waive a no trade clause, which I didn't know existed. Like, I had no idea that that was a thing. That was, we had a lengthy discussion. I was like, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
I guess when you're, if the contract isn't 3 years, you're protected with that clause, and there you can, I guess a player can waive that one, which I do not understand at all why the collective, why the Players Association would allow that, but you can't waive the qualifying offer one. So none of that makes any sense to me whatsoever. So there's no trade there, which is where we go back to, what does the money look like for the Golden State Warriors? And if you're Al Horford, and this almost to me is Al Horford to the Golden State Warriors what Russell Westbrook is to the Sacramento Kings. Fisher can talk about, you know, teams interest in Russell Westbrook. The only team being interested in Russell Westbrook is the Sacramento Kings. I don't think that that's entirely true. I don't think Russell Westbrook has interest in those other teams. And that immediately shuts down conversation. You're not having a conversation. Hey, does Russ have interest in, you know, playing in New York? No. So there's no conversation to be had. There's no reason to reach out to, I think it's Jeff Schwartz. There's no reason to reach out to his agent and ask. Like, no, he's not interested. We contacted the right people. So we're going to move on. Who's next? Malcolm Brogdon. We just go on to the next guy. What veteran point guard can we get in here? But I wonder if the Al Horford is like, hey, we want you here. You want to be here. Sit tight. We're playing the game. This will have a resolution that winds up with you being a Golden State Warrior. I feel like the Sacramento Kings and Russell Westbrook have had a conversation, or at least Russell Westbrook's people have had a conversation similar to that one.
I think so, too.
It's clear like Russ wants to play another year, and I think he's going to here.
I'd be happy about that too.
But it all lingers on Jonathan Kuminga.
And with
or I should say it all hangs on a resolution to that Jonathan Kuminga situation.
And I would, this is where we get back into the conversation about Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, I think over the weekend there was another report I know we had talked about, and I want to get your thoughts on it at some point, about Jonathan Kuminga feeling like he's on the same level as Cade Cunningham and Scottie Barnes. We talked about that.
I saw that.
Yeah, we talked about that. But I think Anthony Slater had talked about how Kuminga was like still locked in on like, no, I'm not signing that deal. I'll play on the qualifying offer. I believe him.
He absolutely should not sign that 2 year deal.
I believe Jonathan Kuminga. And I think what people who don't believe him and the Warriors feel is like, he'll cave eventually because who leaves $20 million on the table? Maybe he's tricked me, but I believe Kuminga.
So do I.
I believe he's like, I'm not taking that. I will play for $7 million. And if he calls the Warriors bluff like that, the Warriors at some point got to be like, they have to come to their senses, in my opinion, be like, he's not playing. He will play on this qualifying offer. So what are we going to do now? Like, how are we going to go about this? We need to either fix our offer or we need to accept that we need to trade this guy. But I like I said, I don't think he's playing. I think he said, I will play for $7 million. It's fine.
Can we go back to the Cade, Scottie Barnes thing? What was your first thought when you saw that?
I understand it. I understand Kuminga feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked about it with Kyle, whether or not somebody agrees with him is, for me, a separate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how he can feel that way, specifically when he looks at Scotty Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looks at Scotty Barnes and he says, they've let him play. They've let him succeed and fail and all this other stuff. And he's got great numbers. And if I was given that situation, I could do the same things. I could do the same thing. I could have maybe more production as a scorer, maybe not as good, however he wants to break it down. But I could be as productive as Scotty Barnes,
mm-hmm.
given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Cade, that's how he feels. I disagree with that one a little bit more.
So can I stop you? Can
for
I stop
sure,
you right
sure,
there?
Sure. Well,
the whole point in me asking is, I think the reaction, and you're giving a well thought out explanation about the player and the players. I heard, and I don't remember if it was the day it dropped or the next day, but it was sometime over the days I wasn't here. I heard Kyle mention it. And I think Kyle's reaction was the reaction of most people. You're not that. And my first thought was, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. And he certainly did. And if he certainly didn't say it in a way that would go public. Mm. I think the Warrior said it.
Mm.
I think because you can call this hate. You can call it whatever you want to. The Warriors have spent the last year and a half trashing this young man, saying a player who has had sporadic playing time. And their fan base has built highlight reels out of Steph's reactions to him and mishaps on the floor. And every negative story you could think of was posted about him. Mm-hmm. Who would benefit the most from saying, you won't believe this? This dude's agent said he wants to be paid like Scotty Barnes and Cade Cunningham. That's how he sees himself. Mm. Hey, Slater. Hey, Kawakami, come here. You're going to love this. That was my first thought, is the Warriors floated that out there.
Mm.
Now, to your explanation, I have no problem if Jonathan Kuminga feels that way. I'm every bit as good as Trey Wingo. I'm going to say that. I might not be, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to feel like it. But I don't have a problem with the player having that level of confidence. I also don't think he said that.
Mm.
And if he did, I think what he might have said to his agent is, I want to get paid like Scotty Barnes did. I want to get paid like Cade Cunningham did. Mm. And they took that, threw it to their people, and ran with it.
This isn't, I'm not exactly sure. I can't think of where the original Kuminga, Barnes, Cade Cunningham thing. Mm-hmm. But somebody reported on it, right? And it says, Jonathan Kuminga's situation with the Warriors doesn't appear close to a resolution, as both parties have failed to agree to terms given the Warriors' offer. It's evident that Kuminga believed he was undervalued, especially in light of reports that he believes he's on par with Cade Cunningham and Scotty Barnes. San Francisco Chronicle's Ron, don't want to mess up his last name, sorry, man, revealed that Kuminga considered himself on par with Cunningham and Barnes, expecting to be valued similarly. That's an interesting observation that you made, and I tend to agree with you. I don't know if whoever, I don't want to mess up.
Ron Krawczyk, by the way.
Krawczyk,
yeah.
Krawczyk, I don't believe he talked to Jonathan Kuminga or his representation, and that's what the representation said to Krawczyk. I think, to your point.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody told him.
Yep.
That's what he's. And even if Kuminga thinks that way, I don't even know if that was, to your original point, for public consumption.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I'm talking to you, Warriors, where this is what I'm looking for. This is what I think I'm worth. And this is how I feel about myself. And I don't want to make the Warriors into like this boogeyman and, you know, just like this bad organization. I'm not trying to say that, but I can see 100%. Them using that private negotiating conversation and that angle and going to tell the media that this is what this guy thinks, to put him in a bad light. I believe that.
Yeah, it's and it causes most people to talk negatively about him. And I'm sure that I'm sure they feel like that benefits them.
Now, here's the interesting part about that as we go through more degrees of separation here. So do we think that's Mike Dunleavy? Because the one person that we know is like, no, I want him here, is Joe Lacob.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Lacob wouldn't want to put...
It could be anyone associated with that front office. I don't think it's Joe Lacob at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's anyone associated with that front office. If it's Mike Dunleavy, that's fine.
Yeah, but not Mike calling people.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. It's someone associated with that front office.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or that coaching staff.
Well, that... Yeah.
You don't really have to work very hard to figure out that that's not a match made in heaven right there.
Mm.
Shout out SummerSlam 91.
I love that. That was a good SummerSlam.
Match made in heaven, match made in hell.
That's not my favorite one, though. What's my favorite one? That's the two Undertakers.
That's literally no one's favorite except for yours.
What was the other match there, too?
SummerSlam 1994,
5? Three, maybe.
Three?
Yeah, I think I was going into the sixth grade.
Maybe it was SummerSlam 94, because I think SummerSlam 93 was Lex and Yokozuna. SummerSlam 94 was the Lex. Undertaker versus the Undertaker.
Lex and Tatanka.
And then they had...
It was another match.
It was Shawn and Diesel. Or maybe it was Shawn versus Razor with Diesel in his corner and Walter Payton was there. The SummerSlam 94 was at the United Center.
Chicago, that's right.
Yeah, it was at the United Center.
That's phenomenal knowledge by you. That was a good SummerSlam.
It was one of the very few pay-per-views that have ever been at the United Center.
I just talked about three matches that were memorable. What are you talking about?
No,
Luger and Tatanka was memorable.
It was memorable. Like, you remember it. Like, that doesn't mean it was good. Was that the card with Brett and Owen in the cage? Because that was the match.
That sounds about right.
So Brett and Owen in the cage was fire.
Because Survivor Series, the I Quit match was that same year, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my brother. Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to that SummerSlam.
Yeah,
match made in heaven was the wedding, though, too.
That
right?
was the wedding, yeah. That was Macho Man and Elizabeth. Macho Man proposed to Elizabeth at Arco Arena.
For those Royal Rumble?
Nope.
No, just
Superstars taping.
Superstars taping.
Yeah, it was like the last one of the night. It was like 11 o'clock at night.
Will you marry me?
Like, just get this over with, man. I'm tired.
That's going to mirror a Kings game this year.
Jesus, man. That ain't no lie.
You know what I heard about that before we step out? I didn't know that Tuesday NBC situation was going to, it's called Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I know where you're going, yeah.
Starting at 2 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
They'll have games all the way until almost 11 o'clock. I like it.
Yeah, no, that's not bad.
East Coast finally have something to watch at 5 o'clock their time.
Yeah, watch parties here with D'Lo and KC. We'll come back. We were talking a lot about the San Francisco 49ers and that wide receiver position with the insiders. We'll continue to do that. Plus, our man Connor Sutton joins us from the Sac Republic. That's all ahead here. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.